Welcome to the Andy Jacks Podcast, a reflection on how to win in discipline, both for ourselves and others. Consider hitting that like button, sharing with others, and letting me know what you think about this episode's topic. And this episode, I'm especially excited and grateful for bringing in my friend, author, speaker, middle school principal, award-winning principal, used to teach the littlest specialist. What's he called? The happiest place in Minnesota.
Southeastern Minnesota.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Jessica Kabeen, the Jessica Kabeen. You can find her at Jessica Kabeen, which is a great Twitter handle because it's your exact name. That's always my recommendation. If you can get a Twitter handle that's like, don't make some crazy Twitter handle. You need your name. Just simple as much as you can get. Now, if you have a very common name, that may be tough, but Jessica, you pulled it off. So today we're going to talk about the ins and outs of classroom, sort of this idea of what informal observations can be, that kind of walkthrough mentality, you know, getting feedback to teachers as administrator, what works, the challenges, maybe some insight into that. If you're a teacher, this may be some real talk from some principals from behind the scenes that you may really want to listen to about the behind the scenes concerns that we have about our own leadership maybe. And then ultimately, if you're a leader, you know what we're talking about here, and let's get real about this issue. So Jessica, first of all, you can find her at Jessica Kabeen, but her new website, you have to go check out. It's just jessicakabeen.com, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. It's sharp. It's sharp. So you got to go check it out. It's pretty crisp and clean.
Thank you.
So nice. So how you doing?
You know what? And we talked about this before we recorded is we are without students or teachers already. So, you know, I'm still kind of like COVID recovery from this year. I think by Monday I'll be more with it. But right now, you know how you finish the end of the year and you're just like, whew. So we're day two without students, but it's not bad.
And it's one of those things. It's like PTSD in a way this year. It's like, you know, I don't want to diminish PTSD because that's not what I mean. Because PTSD is a real issue. But this year was pretty traumatic.
Yep.
And I do feel like we're going to need to really decompress and get our composure back. And just another shout out for the NAESP National Conference, because that is a great time to connect with school leaders that are also going through that exact same experience. And that's why that networking is so important, right?
Right. And you know, when we didn't have a very planful year. I think most school leaders and educators kind of have a sense of their units, their pacing, and where they're going to go by the end of the year. As principals, we kind of know, okay, these are the special events, these are the routines and rituals we have, and we had none of that this year. Or we were just talking about how I didn't fully grasp the bell schedule this year, because as soon as I'd get it, we would go to distance learning, we'd have a late start, an early release, something would change. And so the instability of this year is really thinking forward to being really planful and kind of bringing back some things like we've talked about, like walkthroughs and observations that we didn't really get to do this year due to either distance learning, quarantine, close contacts, or just exhaustion, to be very frank. I think a lot of us just kind of did the best we could with what we had this year.
Yeah, I'm feeling that for sure. That, you know, and I'm usually by the end of the year, I'm like rolling. I try to use every day and I still am. But that idea of, yeah, it wore me out. Just being real, it wore me out. And it does give you an opportunity to regroup and rethink kind of, do I want to do exactly how I did it? Do I want to change it up a little bit? And so really getting this idea of informal observations and giving feedback to teachers is really critical. I think probably it's one of the most important things we do. And if you can plan that out well and actually do it right, that alone, you can make significant improvements in your school. And in ways that are like meaningful, actually real change, not just sort of like the superficial change. I'm bringing this up probably for me personally, because I'm teaching this course at Virginia Tech now, instructional leadership, right? And I found, again, I love teaching. I've always loved teaching. I went into education because I love teaching, and I love teaching this course. And we are just talking about how to effectively create informal sort of walkthrough forms and what is an efficient and effective form, because efficient and effective are not always the same thing. And so their assignment was to create a form, justify what they put on the form and sort of the rationale and sort of the challenges and maybe advantages of this form, how it played out, that kind of thing. And so it really made me think about this. How can we give good feedback? Mm-hmm. And, you know, at different levels, it's very similar issues. It's not like middle school and high school and elementary. You know, this piece alone is sort of a very common thread of how to do this, don't you think? I know you've been at multiple levels.
Absolutely. And I think I think about it even when we talk informal at the kindergarten center, it was morning greeting. I just made it part of my routine to go into every classroom every day, you know, all 18 to 19 to 20, depending on the year, and do a morning greeting just to build that consistency and visibility so kids didn't get nervous when I walked in. And then moving to the middle school, you know, we double the size of the building and the staff and the needs, but really trying to be intentional with that time and not forgetting a department too. I think sometimes certain departments feel less valued, quote unquote, because they're not a content tested area or they're this or that. So I think it's really intentional to be transparent and visible in all areas so nobody feels unintentionally undervalued. So, but when you asked to talk about this, I was thinking about like three areas about informal observations. And the first one I was going with was measuring what you monitor. So what's the intention for the informal walkthrough? Why are you going through it? And are you clearly communicating that to the stakeholders, to the educators? So like at the middle school next year, we've got some three major aims and our walkthroughs then are going to be based on that quarterly. So building relationships with kids, we're going to a block schedule. So how are you incorporating a brain break every 10 to 12 minutes per research? And then the third one's going to be, how are we incorporating AVID or PSYOP structures? And then the fourth one we'll kind of get to based upon the others. And so we're going to split that up with our instructional coaches and the principals and share that rubric on the front end so teachers know exactly what we're looking for. And then it goes into my second step, which is celebrate and share. So, you know, celebrate, whether it's just a quick post-it note, make sure that there's some instant feedback for the staff member as you're walking in and walking out. A lot of times teachers are really anxious about this process, even though you're probably doing 20 in a day or 10 in a day. This is their one for the month or for the quarter or for the year. So just be really clear and consistent with that feedback. And then, you know, circle back later. If there's a really cool strategy or something that they used in their classroom, would they be willing to share it at a staff meeting, put together a quick 2-minute presentation, share an upcoming professional development to build that expertise within the classroom and within the school? And then probably the most important one for me is no guilt, but grace. So you can have a really awesome walkthrough schedule that's set up for Tuesday and you walk in the building and you have an angry parent or the state's calling you or something just happened and you couldn't get to it that day. You know, try not to beat yourself up too much about it. You know, obviously reach out to the people who you're, you know, they maybe thought you were coming, but give yourself grace and just get back at it. Don't give up. If it doesn't go well the first time, just recalibrate and try it again. I mean, I think I try to be super quick and meaningful tips there, Andy.
Oh, you just like, that could be it. Did everyone write that stuff down? Cause this is wisdom right here. This is good stuff. No, I'm gonna just respond on a couple of things. One is timeliness is so critical. The faster you can give feedback. In fact, I theoretically would love to, and I do it a lot, is give feedback in the moment. If you, it's this coaching mindset. I mean, I played sports, music, and all these other things. And in those fields, you give continuous feedback all the time. And in our field, it's like we observe and then we talk later, eventually, maybe. And then it's like a different weird environment for that. Really, if we think of ourselves as coaching and we're trying to help coach people improve their skills, then the faster we can give them this feedback, the better. And also you said something about more regular feedback. I find that if you don't talk to people very often, then you put so much pressure on the one piece of feedback you give them. And especially if it's negative at all in any way, it's really tough. So now but on the flip side, you can't give them feedback all the time. Like you can't go in all the time and nitpick every little thing to death. But getting in often helps form that relationship so that you can give a sort of really minor little things. Like you can observe without observing, like officially getting into rooms, just seeing what's going on, talking to them about what they're doing. And that is sort of like a very, very minor version of an informal observation. And then when you get more serious with a little bit more formal version, and then you have the real formal version, you know, I mean, it's almost like a continuum of observations. And that can really help build that relationship. But, you know, I would come back to this thing. So Jessica, you and I are doing a shared session as a pre-conference and I can't get past it. So we're going to do this shared full day session. If you haven't signed up yet, this is for aspiring leaders, assistant principals. And I want to bring this up for assistant principals because there's a piece of, I saw this quote that I love, which is about this, which is, to acquire knowledge, one must study. But to acquire wisdom, one must observe. To acquire knowledge, one must study. But to acquire wisdom, one must observe. That's Marilyn Vos Savant. And I think that idea of an edge, a leader, especially if you're new and you're aspiring and you're trying to learn more, go observe great teaching. Get in these rooms, observe what they're doing, observe the nuance of how they're putting things together, because you learn so much about what great teaching is when you see that firsthand, don't you think?
Completely agree. And it, especially if you're newer into a building or newer grade levels, it also helps you build capital, because a lot of times those master teachers aren't the ones that you're hearing from in the staff meetings or in the emails. They're the ones that are in their rooms doing their job day in, day out, and maybe don't want any credit or recognition. And so getting in and seeing that for yourself helps you really understand the culture and the climate of the building that you're serving into.
Yeah, I think a lot of times your great teachers are totally avoided with observations. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones who I think want the feedback. And all teachers deserve feedback.
Absolutely. In
meaningful and positive, constructive ways. They all deserve it. And when you think about it that way, it's not like you're not doing them a favor by not observing them.
Right.
Like sometimes we think like we're rewarding teachers by getting out of their hair. And there's a difference between like not giving them work, but giving them coaching sort of feedback shows that you value them both as people and as educators and growth, you know, like growth idea. And you really miss opportunities with them. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you were talking earlier though about creating the form, you're yep. talking about sort of a systematic, like something we talked about at the very beginning. You're talking about really being intentional, which I know you always talk about being very intentional with your time and your energy, and how that can help focus a group.
Yep.
So why is it important that you pulled other people in to do that though? Because you could just do that on your own, right? So I mean, you may be listening to this as a school leader and thinking, oh, that's great. I know exactly what I want to do this year. So I'm going to create a form that does that. What's the difference between that and what you're doing?
Building a comprehensive leadership team. Because I also know moving into from an assistant principal to a building principal to now a principal, like my role is also to cultivate other leaders. And sure. sometimes those are leaders without titles. And that's where that instructional coach, tech integrationist, and maybe we even have our district union rep in here. And I think it's also important for teachers to get to see the other side of it too, to see that experience. I also think it's important that we really are focusing on three major aims next year. And so our walkthroughs really are going to be solidifying, like, what are we seeing in our classrooms that we either reinforce what we're trying to do? Are we seeing things we need to reteach, or are we missing something we need to recognize too? So I think the form helps, and clarity is the antidote to anxiety. And so if teachers know she's coming in the next 2 weeks to look at this, it's not going to be, you know, I'm not going to get in trouble. It's not going in my, you know, reports. This is, you know, this is informal. Explaining all of that and being super transparent about it really helps people to just be really relaxed and be ready for it. And I think the more often you do it too, the more they're like, okay, this isn't a gotcha. This is, I've got you here and I'm trying to support what we're trying to do in our building and their initiatives.
Yeah. Cause I think you're right. Because I think that before, you know, they think administrators, it's so easy to go in and give people tough feedback. I think that's one of the biggest challenges in our job, because I think it's really hard to constantly be on the lookout to give people critical feedback. It's very difficult to do it right. Especially, you have to have very good conversations. You have to be very thoughtful in the dialogue you have with teachers, but it's not easy. It's very emotional on our end too. It's like, you don't want to hurt feelings. A lot of times you avoid the tough conversations, and the more you avoid it, the worse things get, you know? And if you could be very nitpicky if you don't watch out. So some things, let's talk about that for a second, because I know an administrator, it's just really challenging emotionally almost too. One thing I know that helps with me is to be just very specific with facts. Like, you gotta be careful with judgment when you get into observations. Like you said just a second ago, you wanna make sure teachers know that you're there to give them feedback. With feedback meaning almost like a mirror, not a sort of distorted my version of what that mirror should look like, you know, not like a funhouse mirror, but like a real mirror. You know, very factual based, what you're seeing and what you're hearing. Be careful with these general statements of like judgments, because so much of that can lead into your bias about what you think, like organization or appropriate, the words appropriate, or what is it? Like develop, you always see these developmentally, there's just so many common words that you hear sometimes used in observations that are so subjective. Mm-hmm. You know, so getting very clear and not giving too much feedback,
right?
Like just being sort of, okay, I'm going to give you some factual things here. This is enough to talk about right now. It's not me giving you a comprehensive view of everything that you're doing. It's sort of a targeted thing that maybe I want to work on right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would, if for those of us who, you know, either haven't done it in a while or in a new setting or a new context, really important to practice what you want to say ahead of time. So for me, I am someone who, when I get nervous, I just talk a lot and my hands start moving. Just it's the weirdest thing. I get nervous. I start to talk faster. My hands start moving. It's like I'm flying a plane by myself. But so for me, I write it down ahead of time. Like what are my intentions for the conversation? What's some of the outcomes? I read it aloud and then I ask for feedback. So if I, for example, I've had some harder conversations in one of our departments, I reached out to my curriculum director. I reached out to our gifted and talented coordinator. And I also have practiced with the assistant principal. I'll just kind of role play and say, okay, I want to just practice the script with you. And I think it's also good modeling too. So then he gets to see that these are not easy conversations to have in the time and effort and energy you put forward to them. And it's also, you know, depending on the relationship you have with the other person, is circling back for feedback. I think that's one thing. You can have that hard conversation, but then follow up with them. Like, don't wait weeks to have a conversation outside of that conversation, because that tension just grows. And then there's misconstrued feelings or more unintentional aspects of it. So I always try the next day to just connect with that person in the hall or something, just to say, hey, we had this interaction, but that doesn't damage our whole relationship.
That's such great feedback, because you want to make sure people realize, like, it is what it is. Like, I'm going to give you feedback. It may not all be perfect. That's okay. And then guess what? We're going to move on. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a good relationship and everything's going to be fine. You know, you're not getting fired. Like so many people, sometimes teachers get this feeling of like any negative feedback, I'm getting fired. It's almost like they go to like this worst case scenario when it's like, no, we're not talking about all that. We're just sort of coaching up. But you know, leaders, you have to be reflective and gain that feedback, like Jessica said, because maybe they do feel like that because of something that you're doing to them. Maybe you are being too blunt. Maybe you are being too like tough and hard. And maybe you're not being sort of sensitive enough to that emotions that are going on during that meeting. And so maybe you do need to reflect on how you're doing that. You know, one other thing, we're going to wrap up here in a second, Jess, but you know, behavior, something came up in one of our discussions about this was, are we looking at just the teacher and the dog and pony show? Or are we looking at the whole class environment? And that's something I really stress, is looking at student behavior. You know, behavior is feedback, not just on how the student's doing and how the class is doing, but how the teacher's doing. And there's a difference between blame and responsibility. I don't want to blame the teacher for student behavior, even if it's theoretically their fault, but most times it's not their fault. It's just something that's going on. But teachers and leaders, we are responsible to help improve those behaviors in the classroom. It may not be your fault, and leaders have to be very careful not to blame the educator in the room, but all of the leader and the teacher both have to take responsibility for improving that situation.
Absolutely. And I think it's just important that you're willing to, and that's been the when you do the formal observations, I've seen in professional development, the feedback from the teachers when they've said, hey, this didn't go as well, or this, you know, or having those conversations afterwards for them to kind of get an observational cue of the room and some of the participants. And sometimes it's okay to celebrate, like, if you've worked with certain students that you see in the office area for discipline, but in that class, they're engaged, they're motivated, they're on task, you know, find out what they're doing and encourage them to work with other teachers so that student can continue to see the success in that room and replicate it other places. And sometimes that helps other teachers to be like, okay, so what are they doing that maybe I could find to help work and build that stronger classroom community too?
Yeah, absolutely. And even asking the teachers right afterwards to reflect before you tell them what you're thinking. I find that 9 times out of 10, teachers give you really good feedback as to what they think, you know, could be better. And half the time I could just say nothing, like, you're right, you know, good points. And even if I did think of something else, I don't really need to bring it up because you had some great points and we're good with that. because the more teachers can be reflective on their own practice and own that growth, that's exactly what you want, more so than you them hearing your feedback, right? And so that's just another tip too. So I think that's a lot of quick feedback for some aspiring principals, APs, current principals. Make sure you sign up for our, I'm a little commercial, sign up for our session of pre-conference, yeah, because you'll hear this for like the day. That's some good PD. So good talking, Jess.
That's always fun, Andy. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. So that's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed this episode's topic. Share with others. Let me know what you think on social media. For me, @_AndyJax. For Jessica, @JessicaCabine. Read more on leadership, school, culture, and discipline at my website, AndyJax.com. And for Jessica, it's JessicaCabine.com. We're in this together, and reach out if you need anything. Have a great week. What you're doing is important. Hang in there. We got your back.